Thanks for your patience, everyone. Sorry for the technical delay. Computer said no. Could you join me in welcoming our second paper in the stream of vernacular literacy this afternoon? Kate Johnson from the University of the South Pacific and Michael Frangier from the now University of Newcastle in Australia. And their topic is vernacular literacy development in Vanuatu. Please make them welcome.
Okay, thank you very much for coming. Today we're going to be looking at two different vernacular literacy development projects that we've been involved with in Vanuatu and comparing the strengths and weaknesses of our workflows. And then looking at those and seeing how we can fit in with the new national developments that are happening in Vanuatu, the new Vanuatu Education Sector program that's happening at the moment. Sort of covering what Cindy had already said, Vanuatu is an archipelago in the South Pacific Ocean. It's got about 230,000 people, and the projects we've been working on is, I've been working in Ambrim, which is sort of in the middle on the right-hand side, and Pentecost Islands just above that as well. There's current estimates are there's 128 languages in Vanuatu, and probably estimated back in 2000 that 26 of those had good and sound sort of orthographies that could be used for vernacular literacy. Obviously, expecting that to have actually changed in the last few years, but we don't have any up-to-date survey information on that. Bizlam is the national language. It's an English-based Creole, lingua franca, that's used everywhere. And French and English are also the other official languages and used as the languages of education. But more recently, Bizlam has just been introduced as a language of instruction as well. So in Vanuatu, there's many different partners and agencies involved in literacy and education, working at national and local levels. I mean, here's just some of them. There's many, many more as well. The idea here is just to have an overall picture of the different agencies involved and sort of the confusion that arises when a linguist comes in and works in a country like Vanuatu. Who is it we should be working with, and how can we get the correct workflow and, you know, create these usable teaching materials for literacy development on the local scale? A little bit of history on vernacular education in Vanuatu. Originally, missionaries came along and were translating portions of the Bible, catechisms, hymns, and such forth. SIL have more recently been doing Bible translation, but also along with curriculum development as well, so branching out its actual literacy that's not just Bible-based, and obviously linguists as well have been doing vernacular literacy development. It's all been done quite piecemeal, ad hoc, where someone comes along, chooses a language, and just works on that language. There was an education master plan back in 1999, promoted by the World Bank, that looked at introducing vernacular literacy on a national scale, but because of a lack of funding partners and inertia, nothing happened. And until recently, with the new Vanuatu Education Sector Program that's been funded by NZAID and AusAid to a tune of 40 million Australian dollars, was it? Yeah, and that just recently launched last year, so which also looks at, has some provision for vernacular literacy development. So the two projects that we're going to be looking at on the local scale are the in-situ vernacular literacy development that I've done in Ambrim, in-situ being working with the speech community on Ambrim itself, and looking at the next situ vernacular literacy project that Kay's done, so working in the capital Port Vila and having language consultants and experts come in from Pentecost Island. And then we're looking at our workflows and seeing how we can work together with the National Vernacular Literacy Project that's happening at the moment. So really, the questions there, what can we learn from the experience of from our experiences from these two different project types? Is one of them the best? And how can we work with these national education providers to actually produce some usable teaching resources on the local scale? Okay, so looking at North Ambrim, this is the island of Ambrim. North Ambrim is spoken in the northern sector, so from around Vetlam in the northwest over to Konkon in the northeast. There's about 3,000 speakers, inhabitants of that area, and pretty much everybody speaks North Ambrim. There's six other languages on the island and spoken in the other villages as well. In North Ambrim, there's two high schools, one French, one English, and a mixture of primary schools and kindergartens, both in English and French medium as well. Okay, so the two projects that I've done, first off was my PhD, where I spent about 15 months in Amrim, working on, you know, basic documentation of the language, working on a grammar sketch, and also working with local teachers at the schools, coming up with a usable orthography. And more recently, Christensen Fund funded grant, working on literacy development, so just focusing on producing a trilingual dictionary in Northumbrian, Islam and in English. Created 40 vernacular literacy books, made about 12,000 copies of those to be distributed to all the schools, and a couple of teacher training workshops as well, with a mixture of primary and kindergarten teachers coming, and also developing a vernacular literacy component in the local school as well. Here's an example of one of the books that we created, with some nice illustrations from one of the local speech community members, who's only about 16, but quite a gifted artist. Just a brief note on the teacher training workshops to look at what we've done. We had about 30 participants from the kindergartens and primary schools. We worked on teaching the orthography that we had previously developed, coming up usable word breaks, lots and lots of writing practice, and obviously curriculum development. So taking SIL's approach to using to teaching by the syllable and keyword, and building those keywords and syllables up into sentence units, and then also making some actual more easy to use teaching materials such as big books, those A3 books with a big picture on them and simple sentences underneath that come up with a nice easy story. And also maths books and some games and play as well.
So coming to the other literacy project, this is this on the Skye language. Skye is spoken in South Pentecost, just south of the area that Cindy works, for those of you at the previous talk. Recent census gave the number of inhabitants for this area is around about 600, although the actual speaker number is probably smaller than this. My experience of working there shows that people are also switching to Apma due to intermarriage, and also Islam, the national language, is coming in as a shift to Islam, as there are in lots of language communities around Vanuatu. Skye is the smallest of the four languages spoken on Pentecost, and here I've given the languages in order of greatest number of speakers to smallest number of speakers. Here's the same language map that Cindy showed with the number of speakers. So Apma is the largest, it's spoken in the centre with about 7,800. The other languages there, and then Skye, just nested between Apma and Star with under 600 speakers. I also worked on Skye language for my PhD. I was doing fieldwork there for a total of about around a year. Various products from the fieldwork was the thesis itself, also did a grammar sketch, recorded lots of texts as per language documentation methodology, so lots of text types in there, different genres, and also we conducted alphabet workshops at the time. During my fieldwork there, I noticed that the context for Skye literacy were really rather small, limited opportunities for people to write in the language after we'd done these workshops, and people had said that they really did want to be using the language in different contexts. There was no education context at the time because there was no kindergarten. The kindergarten was established after some of my fieldwork. There was a prayer book that was under development at the time of my being there. Mobile phone masts had just been erected, so people were starting to send text messages in the language. That was exciting. People would started to write public notices, so about the store, people basically who had an account to pay off largely, and if there were meetings, and public notices for when there were various meetings. And also one of my language consultants who was doing the transcriptions for me, he really enjoyed writing the language, and he was the secretary for the Skye Area Committee, and he started to write the minutes for those meetings in the language as well. I also have a Christensen Fund grant to produce literacy materials in the language, and I am based in Port Vila to do this. I'll be producing materials for a cross-section of the community, kindergarten and the church, so children and adults, and producing books, listed different types of materials that will be developed, different products. So they'll be text-based, they'll be online materials, and they'll be multimedia products as well. One example is the calendar book. This is one of the Skye chiefs told me all the names of the months in the language and described what occurs at that time of year. So we'll be making a book of all these months, and as we can see, these are things that can be used for teaching resources as well. And this is the point of the whole talk. How do we do this? How do they become relevant at the national and the local level? As part of the literacy project I'm working on, we'll be doing dictionary workshops. We've actually got workshops happening just after this conference when I go back to Port Vila. So community members will be coming over to Port Vila to work on the dictionary, plus we'll be looking at the book texts. So looking at how we simplify the texts that have been transcribed to make them usable for the children in the kindergarten. So looking at really simple stories or just one word books to longer stories that the teacher can read so that the children have more practice in the language as well. Of course, for most of them it is their first language, but it's good to hear different genres, different levels of difficulty. We'll also be having some orthography training for the teachers in the kindergarten community. And then also, being in Port Vila, there's an opportunity for advocacy work and looking at sustainability. I'll be arranging meetings for the community to meet members of the Ministry of Education, the lady who's the head of the kindergartens and early childhood care and education, so that the community members are also aware of how it's useful for them to be becoming literate in their first language and to transition to another language. And this is the aim of the Vanuatu government. They want the people to be literate in French and English. And also we'll be doing story writing competitions. The youth in the Skye community, the kindergarten committee told me that they didn't have many activities for the youth to do, and they said that this would be a really nice opportunity for the youth to become involved in producing literacy materials. The idea for the advocacy is that once the linguist is removed from the picture, there's already a bridge between the community at the local level and then education providers at the national level as well. So there is some discussion going on, even if the linguist isn't there all the time.
Okay, so just comparing our workflows and how we came about to do this work. So when we both did our PhD, and as external researchers to Vanuatu, when you come in, you go through the Vanuatu Cultural Centre and you sign an agreement with them to say who you're going to work with. And also you have to say that you're going to give something back to the community. And what that is, they don't really specify what that is, but as linguists, normally it's something to do with vernacular literacy. They also set you up with local language consultants in the area as well, or local field workers, as they call them. And then myself, in Northumbrian context, Northumbrian split into three development areas, which are called local council areas. And through them, I was put in touch with the different primary schools in which I could organise my orthography workshops.
I went through the same process at the national level through the cultural centre and the language consultants at the local level. However, in the Skye area, were no field workers, there's no development council, and there's still no primary school, and there's only just a kindergarten being recently established.
Okay, when it came to our more recent programme for literacy development, again, we go through the national level with the cultural centre, but we also met with members of SIEL who have actually had a really long contact with working on vernacular literacy in Vanuatu. And so the methodology that I've been using has been based on SIEL's methodology for vernacular teaching. Also been working with the Ministry of Education as well, who are now looking at vernacular literacy. And all of the products that we've created have to be okayed by the Ministry of Education. They also put me in contact with the local zone curriculum advisors, who are local teachers based in the different areas of Vanuatu who are in charge of the schooling of that area. So we have a zone curriculum advisor for Northumbrian, and together we came together to make the literacy workshops.
Again, the same workflow with the addition that I'm working, because I'm based in the capital, and I have the opportunity to work with other education partners. So these are other NGOs such as Save the Children and Peace Corps, and also independents who are producing literacy materials, plus VESP. And the Vanuatu Education Sector Programme team, which I'll talk about a little
bit. Okay, so just comparing the strengths and weaknesses of an in-situ and ex-situ project. For myself, working in-situ with the actual speech community, it was really good because we could address problems as they arose, so such things as spelling and word breaks and so on, could create material that's relevant. So people were coming up to me and saying what they felt should be included in the curriculum, what traditional stories, or what knowledge they thought was going to be lost in terms of due to cultural shift. And also, a good strength of that is, you know, it's after the training workshops, it's a community-driven future development of the literacy. That is, the teachers can now actually take what they've done and move it on and produce more materials. In itself, that's actually a weakness as well, because it depends on the efficacy of some of the teachers there. Some were really good and they came up with songs to sing the alphabet in and some good curriculum units for the teaching of the language, but all the books that I created a year later are still sitting in one school and haven't been actually moved to all the other schools and distributed. So yeah, it depends. We had logistic problems working on the island, of course. As soon as it rains, the roads get washed out and the sea gets too choppy, so we had to have about three or four of the workshops cancelled themselves. There's a small amount of capital in a short time frame as well, so there's no room for evaluation at later stages. It's hard to get in contact with people again and see how things are going out there. And also, I had a low contact with the Ministry of Education, the Curriculum Development Unit, so not necessarily, I'm not sure whether what I've actually made is actually relevant to the community.
For the project that I'm working on, some of the strengths were the practicalities. I had regular power, internet access, dedicated workspace, and as I've said, I was able to work with education partners at the national level to do advocacy work as well, saying there are people here working on local languages. How can we become involved with what you're doing at the, to provide education at the national level? Weaknesses are that there has been reduced community involvement because I'm not there in the village, although I have spent a significant amount of time there and have contacts, but I'm not there, and as a result I think there's been some uncertainty over what's happening in the project from time to time, which for me is a definite downside. We'll see what the effect of these issues have on the outcomes of the project. So we talked about the local projects, the two local projects on the two different languages. Looking at the national scale now, there are some very interesting things happening in Vanuatu at the moment at the national level in terms of education provision, and we're looking at how we can tie in with what they're doing. Prior to this year, the only languages of instruction used in schools were either English or French. Now there is provision for other languages to be used, local languages, Islamo, and they're all termed vernacular, and that is kind of key, so Islamo is being used with very few exceptions. At the moment, all the surveys that have been done on literacy levels in Vanuatu, in for English and French literacy, remember, are all incredibly low. Some of the statistics here are shown over the years. However, if you look at the 86% of families report with a tongue spoken at preschool, there is support, and already people are using their local language, their first language in the schools. Vanuatu is set not to achieve its UN Millennium Development Goals, these, the literacy of universal access to primary education and literacy. It's not going to achieve that. There's a lot of work to be done. There is a huge amount of policy support now for local languages. So again, how can we tie into this support and make the work that we're doing at the local levels relevant? National Curriculum Statement of 2010 promotes the use of vernacular for lots of reasons, including seeing how literacy in the first language can make transition to literacy in the second language easier. The National Language Policy has put this, has made this more concrete by saying Bislamo or a local vernacular can be used as the transitional language in these early years of education. They've also said there are other contexts where Bislamo or a local language can be used, such as in day-to-day communication, and also some subjects. And the National ICT Policy has also stated that ICT should be used to preserve and celebrate local languages and cultures. Moving on to VESP, this is the Vanuatu Education Sector Programme. Huge amount of funding to improve quality of education in Vanuatu, and they really want to improve literacy and numeracy skills. They're looking at teacher education, capacity building, quality of the schools themselves. The areas that vernacular literacy is relevant to are in strengthening early childhood care and education, and more so improving learning outcomes. And this is looking at the new curriculum that's being developed. And there are three main subjects that are being teachers' guides are being made for at the moment, literally as we speak. So far, VESP has been operating for a year in Vanuatu, and they've provided 500 literacy and 500 numeracy kits to schools nationwide. Teachers' guides in Bislamo are being developed now. They've produced one already for the maths and science pillar of the curriculum. They're implementing language policy as well. There's a picture of one of the alphabet cards that's in the literacy kits. Their plan for 2015 is to provide lots of, some funds for vernacular literacy and local materials. This is not Islamic, this is the local languages. Potential for more funds, depending on what happens. It's very unclear at the moment. There's money for conferences and other activities. But the key point here is that it's the grassroots initiatives from communities that they're relying on to produce the materials. It's a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach, which is happening for Islam.
Okay, so just two more slides. Okay, so just looking back on what we've discussed today, so what can we learn from our experiences of these two different project types that we've conducted? Well, we definitely recommend a combination of both these project types due to, you know, obviously strength with working with closely with the communities, but also ex situ by creating these bonds with at the national level as well. And what we want to do is we want to improve these existing workflows. So obviously, as we come into Vanuatu, as linguists come in, we work with the Vanuatu Cultural Centre. We have to sign an agreement saying we have to give something back. It would be nice if we had something that was already there specified what we have to give back via the Ministry of Education. So what are the minimum requirements that we need to have a usable curriculum in the local vernacular? So this is what we're doing at the moment. So how can we work with the national providers? So at the moment we're liaising with VES to create minimum resource requirements for curriculum subjects, looking at these three main sections of the curriculum: math, science, language, communication, and living in our community. And also we're going to be working with the curriculum development unit to come up with how to assess and grade texts, and also what are the linguistic structures that are appropriate at each level for early years education. And finally, we want to try and collate all the resources that are available, these shell books, or these templatic books that are there, or books that are in Bislam already for teaching, and put them all together in one repository and a place that we've identified this could be the new Ministry of Education and Training website, which could be the central repository. And that's it. Siba Tef.
Because we rounded late at the start, we officially only have 2 minutes for questions. But unless the next presenter's here, I'm sure we can roll over a little bit. But just to make you aware, it's now only 12 minutes till the next session starts. So if you'd like to field some questions, unless you want me to moderate for
them.
Question away.
I can answer the first part of that question then. When I was running the teacher training workshops in Ambra, the teachers were quite happy to be doing this as well. They all understood the need for vernacular literacy as well. And they were very happy, and some were really engaged with it. I mean, it depends. Some teachers weren't so engaged with it as well. And there are problems with some of the primary school teachers actually coming from other areas, married into the local community, and don't actually necessarily speak the local language. There's still problems. But the government's now trying to change the policy to have all teachers in primary education to be from the community itself, whereas before the policy was to send people from different communities. So they're changing the policy for that. And yeah, they're on board with it, I think. So.
Yes, as Mike says, at the local level, I found the same. The teachers and the parents are very keen to be using the local languages. At the national level, one of the posts within VES for the education sector program is a language policy implementation advisor, and she is conducting kind of awareness raising because it's a big shift to be moving from English or French to a local language or Bislama in those early years, and they have produced awareness programs of people talking positively about using first language, seeing what the results are. They do report that whilst people might have a positive language attitude, they are worried about what's going to happen to their literacy in English and French. So there are awareness programs going on. And and some of the funds for 2015 will be devoted to more of that. In terms of testing, there are all sorts of different tests and different agencies. You saw the picture of all the agencies that were involved. Different agencies have conducted different tests, and the testing is quite different methodologies, from writing a simple sentence and seeing how quickly they do that to, not quickly, seeing how accurate it is, to time testing. How quickly can you recognise a word? How quickly can you write a sentence? So that's why they're all the different figures of literacy that I showed in this slide briefly. But they all come out as being rather low.
I was just wondering if there is a difference in approach in terms of creating the
test
Yeah, I think in the future that's a good idea. I mean, at the moment on the islands themselves, they've just only had mobile communication for the last 4 or 5 years. They're starting to get smartphones. The schools are ill-equipped. They've got internet now this last year in the school of Ambrim. So there's 2 computers for the whole school. So it's not really there yet. I think in the future, you know, because of the new ICT policy that's pushing forward, availability and universal access to the internet and for computers, we could possibly do that in the future. I think at the moment it's not working on that just yet.
As Mike says, it's definitely something for the future, and the government is really pushing universal access for the internet. They've had competitions recently, telecoms regulator, where they have had schools and different communities applying for internet kind of hotspots, multimedia hotspots. And one of the ideas that we're working on is to, not just as I mean at education providers national level, is to produce digital content which can be put on this website. The MMOT website isn't our idea, it's been suggested by the Prime Minister's office. And we're working with other NGOs, such as the Peace Corps, where possibly their students can, as you say, use mobile phones, record content, upload it onto the site, and then teachers can access it for resources. So there are the ideas there, and gradually there are mechanisms in place for doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, join me in thanking our speakers.